Good October, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the American Pale Males podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Michael, and with me, I'm checking his Spotify profile right now, and his number one played song is Unskidding Bop by Poison. It's
someone else, apparently, because I, Jeremy, have not gone on Spotify.me in quite some time. But I can figure that out for you real quick. yeah, it's me, Jeremy, one of the two of the Brewsome Twosome. Michael, how in the world have you been?
Oh, I like that.
I know, right? I just thought of that.
That's good. That's good. I've been doing pretty good. This cold is... It went away, but as Lisa Simpson said, I think the germs are regrouping, and I'm a little rough still. In the voice department, but
yeah,
we'll make it through.
I've also had some nonsense. Anyway, no Unskinny Bop to be seen, and I can't say that I've heard that song in many years. I think the last time I would have seen is probably on an episode of Beavis and Butthead I watched on Dailymotion.
Oh, yeah, I bet they could rip that one apart a little bit.
They have a few excellent Poison videos in there.
Yeah, yeah. I might have to check that out, actually.
They're pretty solid.
Yeah.
But Michael, enough of this nonsense. How about you hit me with a beer brag?
Well, Jeremy, I have a beer brag to follow up on kind of a talking point we did last week, I think it was, because we were talking about, what is the gas station German beer? And is it good? We assumed it would be good.
Or at least better than the American, its non-union American equivalent.
Right. Yeah. And I think Well, I don't know if this is a gas station beer, but I had a German beer that wasn't that great. It was kind of funny. It almost lined up in timing with right after we recorded that episode. This was Wurzburger Hofbrau.
So well, it's like... got the word worst right in there.
And it was billed as a Pilsner, but it had this like Euro lager type finish, but it wasn't like a clean, crisp beer. I don't know. It was like kind of the worst of both worlds. And don't get me wrong, it was still a quaffable beer, but it just didn't have that body and that German
pop.
Yeah, pop. Exactly. It totally lacked that pop. So it's kind of like, well, I guess they all can't be winners. And that kind of goes hand in hand with what we were talking about last week. But
it's true.
Wurzburger Hofbrau, not Hofbrau brand or brewery, but, their Hofbrau, whatever that means.
House brew?
Or, yeah, court brew or something like that. You can give that one a pass.
Thanks, Michael. I will.
Amongst the pantheon of endless German beers. How about you, Jeremy? Hopefully you had something better than that.
I did. I'm trying. Brewery with ties to a royal court. Okay.
Just verifying that definition.
So, this past weekend... finished up the last, just all of the post-wedding things that no one really tells you about, like, you have to go to the bank, you have to go to do this, you have to go to do that, and to be fair, most of it is things that my wife, who has changed her name, has to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's still a lot to do, but while I was out, I had, from Kelowna Brewing, and this is on draft, Michael, and I had no clue this existed, I had Aloha Iowa Belgian Style Pineapple. So it was essentially like a pineapple version of a wit beer.
Okay.
So it was not Belgian in the style that, you know, you and I would normally associate, like triple, double.
Right.
And so on. But I think I like pineapple beers.
Yeah, well.
Because we had the Steel Raz, or the Steel Rez.
Yeah, Steel Reserve.
Pineapple, which was hard pineapple. Passable given that it was a 25-ounce, 8%. Thing of malt
monstrosity
liquor.
yeah.
And then did you try pineapple beer up at Quarter Barrel when we were there? Because I know I did.
Oh yeah, I think that made the rounds. Yes, I did try that.
Okay, so that's three that I've liked, and one of them was Steel Reserve.
Yeah,
so it's like we got the locals and we've got, you know, the macroiest of the macros.
Yeah,
and it kind of works. Don't get me wrong, I'm sure some of it is garbage beers with,
yes,
pineapple in it. But as of right now, we're hitting 100. I don't know if I would have named it a Belgian. I would have called it a Witbier or a Belgian style, which I guess they did now that I think about it.
Yeah.
But just whenever I hear the word Belgian,
you think of something with a little punch.
Well, this thing did have a little bit of a punch. I think it clocked in at, it was only 6.3, so it's not absurd. Like a blonde fat ale or anything like that. But
Jeremy, real quick interjection. I don't know if you remember this one. This is going back to F124. We had beer called Pineapple Mana Wheat.
Oh, yeah.
From Maui Brewing, and we both like that one.
That does sound vaguely familiar.
Yeah.
What episode is this?
Three.
Holy shnikes.
No. Backing up. 236.
Still, man, that's like 110. That's like 2 years ago.
Yeah, very much so, yeah.
Ah, weird. Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, in any case, good work, Kelowna. You've been a little hit or miss with me in the past, but you're on the upswing. Keep it up.
Kelowna Aloha.
Uh-huh. Aloha, nice. Iowa Belgian style pineapple. So it's got a real unwieldy name to it, but that's neither here nor there. The beer is good.
That's right. Jeremy, for the next segment.
Yes, Michael.
Maybe we need like a soundbite of a big door opening and like hear like demons screaming in the background or something, but let's get into it. Let's get into the tailgates of hell. Where we talk about beers that Jeremy has seen at tailgates or other celebrations.
It's true. So I have not been to a tailgate in a while, or at least just because it's been a mixture of, you know, weddings and away games and bye weeks and what have you.
Oh, that's right. Bye week. Yeah.
Yeah. That came up, but there is one coming up this weekend and I will be sure to check into that. But, in an effort to, you know, get more information, I kind of texted a bunch of people this afternoon and gave them the exact question, because, you know, I can't go about skewing data here. Let me find this question that I had sent. Hypothetical research for the pod. You're going to a tailgate for an afternoon. You're at the store to get a six-pack. What do you get? It can be a style or specific. So, Michael, what's your answer to that? And you're going for an afternoon. This is not just like I'm popping by. You're like, you're getting beer to drink for a while.
Right, right. Oh, man. Oh, did I tell you when I was getting beers for the last swap, I saw two gentlemen. This is the most beer I've ever seen purchased in one, like,
oh, man.
Eyewitness. Each with a shopping cart full of Natty Light.
Mm-hmm.
Cases of Natty Light, mind you.
Mm-hmm. Dirty 30s.
Yeah. That would be at least, like, 20 in each cart of those. And then sprinkled among some Natty Seltzer.
Was it the Catalina wine spritz? What is it? It's like the Catalina wine spritzer or something like that.
Yeah.
And the other one is called Aloha Beaches.
And I think they had both in there.
Okay. People at the last tailgate I was at claimed that the Natty Light seltzer was not bad at all. Continue.
But if I had a pick for a tailgate, I would pick a yellow beer from a large, mid to large craft brewery.
So yours would be mid-level craft.
Yeah, but a yellow.
But a yellow. Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so here are the options that I put on this poll.
Okay.
Macro/yellow beer, parentheses Bud Lights. Mid-level craft, Fat Tire. So, you know, something along there.
Yeah.
High-end craft or local only, Big Grove. And there was also, like, yuck, Mountain Dew, I'll take the hard seltzer or something like that. I don't know, but the results came out 50-50 between local only and mid-level craft. And
okay.
So some of the more detailed responses I got. Photographer of the show said, quote, "That's a toughie because I'm into lowbrow beer or high ABV beers. So it'd either be something cheap like PBR or Bud Heavy or something powerful like Blonde Fatale."
Okay.
And I told him, this is like, well, you need to pick one. There's no wrong answer. And he says, PBR Tallboys. So, mark photographer of the showdown for a sack of Pabst or in the macro or yellow beers.
Okay.
We have another one that says, enemy of the show, Brian, who pops in and says, Bud Heavy. So that's two for macros.
Oh, yeah.
We've got captain of the show who pops in and says, I get Fat Tire. So that's 2 for macros, 3 for mid-level craft, and then 3 for local only. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to need your input on this because Wacky Neighbor Steve says he remembers at one point he grabbed the 12-pack of Ranger from New Belgium, which I believe is now Voodoo Ranger.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I remember that.
And we apparently downed the whole thing, and that was delicious. Where would you count that? Would you say that's like mid-level craft?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
So, surprisingly split down the middle. I'll get more input on this this coming weekend. But okay. I usually tend to go macro / yellow beers, personally.
Mm.
Just because it's easier. You can have many of them and function. I go Zacky and get the PBR or the Bud Heavy. Council of the Show does have a constant supply of Miller Lights, which are fine. I mean, I personally would prefer High Life if I'm going yellow beers, High Life or Pabst, but we can't always get what we want, Michael. So I think right. We're kind of at 3-3-3. The only one that got no love was the high-end craft, which is probably which is kind of the way it should be.
Yeah, for the occasion. Like the other thing about those other ones is I'll leave a few at the tailgate and
yeah,
I won't miss them, you know.
Council of the Show also has done that. He will like that Tangerine Rattler from Spiteful that I brought up last week. He had mentioned that he was not a fan. He said, when I was at the store, I was really feeling a Rattler. And then I got to the tailgate this morning and said, why did I get a Rattler? But I had some of them. They were good. I liked it.
Well, Jeremy, listen to this. I got a couple new, I was going to say beers, but they're not beers. I will say options for potential tailgating. And what would you say to these?
Mm-hmm.
Good for tailgating or bad? First, I saw a big billboard for this 2 days ago. Andre now comes in a can.
That's not cool. That's good. I see this, like the carbonated wine, the spritzers, the whatever, yes, the fizzy wines. I see that stuff in cans. And I occasionally see let's just call them a middle-aged mother of sorts, staggering down Melrose Avenue with one or two of those in hand. And it makes it too easy, I think, is where I'm getting at. Because you don't what do we think the highest ABV you can get in a 12-ounce can would be?
Like a beer?
Specifically, well, 12-ounce.
Some, malt liquor or something. But, you know.
Do they sell that in 12-ounce cans?
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
Because that's why I specifically said a 12-ounce can, because those cans of wine, I think, have to be a 12-ounce can. I don't think they do tall boys quite yet, or at least I haven't seen them.
The form I'm seeing here is, yeah, a 12-ounce can of, uh-huh, I think this says 9.5%.
Okay, so it's not out of, that's not crazy. When they said, like, wine, I guess I haven't really looked too closely at it, and I was expecting it was, you know, like 13, 14, you know, like a glass of wine. Or
yeah, I'm sure this is doped up a little with sugar and diluted a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But still, that's pretty big. I mean, compared to like a Steel Reserve, it's probably one of the higher ones you can get in a
12-ounce
form factor, and that's...
Well, I mean, without resorting to like craft, because, okay,
right.
Well... A Blonde Fatale comes in a 12-ounce bottle, but the volume is what I was getting at, because I feel like I only see those just blisteringly high ABV malt liquors in like 25-ounce cans or higher.
You're right.
Be it that or a 40 or Jag Ice in a 25-ounce can or whatever.
But, which are all still probably less than 9.5.
They're about 8.5.
Yeah, they get up there for sure, but...
So, I mean, I guess it's not as absurd as I thought it was going to be, is my point. It's still gross. I wouldn't do it.
Okay. And coming to a store next spring, it's Corona Hard Seltzer.
I saw this on... I know where you got this from.
Yeah.
You got this from our man, Josh Knoll.
Same source, yeah. Yeah, Constellation Brands... You know, flexing their biggest brand into the mix with Corona, trying to get into the hard seltzer game. I think we've talked hard seltzers to death and our opinions on them.
We kind of have.
But I just thought it was interesting that we have another player coming in. I guess it's very lucrative. What can you say?
How about this? This is another thing that I've seen at stores. This is from liquor.com, March 18th, 2019. New boozy beverages from Corona arrive just in time for summer. The Corona Refresca. Corona has entered the market with three tropical flavored drinks. Corona Refrescas are boozy malt beverages that come in coconut lime, guava lime, and passion fruit lime. 4% ABV.
I did see that too, and I almost got the two confused. I think it sounds like they almost missed the mark with the Refresca. And
it does.
Because that's a mocktail, mocktail, but cocktail in a can, whereas this is a true hard seltzer. So
they do have a spiked seltzer advent calendar. God is dead, Michael.
Apparently, if it's coming down to this.
Jesus Christ. No pun intended. 59. Okay, so this is a favorite. The 12-can hard seltzer advent calendar includes popular brands like White Claw and Truly, in addition to lesser-known brands like Cape Line and Crook and Marker. $59 plus 15 for shipping.
Forget it.
Kiss my grits. That's not going to happen. But,
yeah. To close the tailgates of hell.
Mm-hmm.
I have one final question. This was brought up on the My Brother and Me podcast. Somebody wrote in and said, do you think I can get away with bringing in a hard seltzer to work and people just thinking that it's a regular seltzer water?
So you mean like drinking like a Perrier or something like that and then just refilling a non-alcoholic bottle?
No,
because
just like straight up bringing the
you
can.
Just bring a White Claw in and drink it out of the can.
Right. Something maybe a little more offbeat because there's just so many brands out there. Like if you brought in a Bone and Viv, most people probably don't know that's, you know, and maybe if it does say hard seltzer on there.
I was going to say.
Put a little piece of tape with your name on it or something on top of that hard. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's a new seltzer brand. You know, it's like bubbly. It's like LaCroix.
Until someone takes 5 seconds to Google it to see what.
Yeah, that's the problem.
It's a fun idea. I think you would have. Yeah. I think you would have to do something like empty out a non-alcoholic container and put it in there. But if you're going to that much trouble, you can just take
anything else. And.
But then again, that stuff doesn't stink as bad as alcohol is like a rum and coke would be. At work.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And some of the packaging is very. So trendy, it just looks like a new modern beverage, soft beverage.
Oh, no, it's from Trader Joe's. You haven't heard of it yet?
Yeah, right, something like that. And there's just so many brands, it's hard to keep track of them now.
Oh, God.
Obviously, Corona wouldn't work. That's a little, obvious, but.
Well, see, part of me wants to know if you just, like, brought a beer into work. Like, assuming you're not working at, like, a pharmacy or, like, a police station or something like that. Right. You just brought a beer into work and just sat down at your desk and drank it. Like, would anyone have the gall to say anything if it wasn't like your boss?
Well, my thing is, what if you brought in like a non-alcoholic beer, like I think like Old Milwaukee non-alcoholic, or something obviously a beer.
That's disgusting. But,
and they come up to you and you're like I guess it still probably has like 0.5% or something. They can probably use that to bring HR down on you, but
well, so does kombucha.
I don't know. I thought that'd just be entertaining, just to sit down in the break room and loudly crack something open. And, yes, refreshment finally.
Pour it into a mug. I recently brought up with wife of the Steve of the show. She had mentioned hop flavored water.
Oh yeah.
They make those now.
Yeah, that's been a thing. I think they're pretty hard to find.
Hop refreshers?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Who made it? I feel like it might have been Deschutes made one. Lagunitas, that's what it is. Lagunitas Hoppy Refresher.
I wouldn't mind getting my hands on one of those at some point.
Zero alcohol, zero carbohydrate, and zero calorie.
I wonder what kind of hops they use.
Let's find out, Michael. I don't need to be 21 to get there. It's non-alcoholic. Citra Equinox and Centennial.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Pinch of brewer's yeast to biotransformate the hops to just the right flavor. It seemed remarkably expensive. I feel like it was like $6 for a 4-pack, which...
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. I mean, for soft beverages, it's pretty expensive. So, yep.
Yeah.
Well, should we get into the FDR, Jeremy?
Let's do it, Michael.
Bad taste in our mouth left by talking about hard seltzers and sparkling wine in cans. You know where we find a beer, drink a beer, and rate a beer?
Why, yes, Michael. Let's do it. What do we have today? Are we still in Germany?
We have left Germany, headed back to the U.S. We're going to be ping-ponging a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
We have from Odell Brewing Company in Fort Collins, Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado.
Oktoberfest, Marzen-style lager.
Apparently, they, I don't know if they change it up, but they are very specific about making sure it says 2019.
Oh, yeah.
So, interesting.
Let's see. Sorry, I'm just comparing flavor text here. From the website to the can, there's a slight difference. We'll start with website. Munich malts and noble hops. There's plenty to celebrate when fall arrives in Colorado. The warm days grow shorter, the cool shadows grow longer, and the aspens put on their golden grand finale. Brewed with biscuity sweet Munich malts and spicy herbal noble hops, our Oktoberfest is a reminder to stop and enjoy the show.
Cool.
Yeah, the can, brewed with traditional Munich malts and herbal noble hops, our Oktoberfest is a celebration of autumn in Colorado.
So,
yeah.
To recap, we have done...
Mm-hmm.
We've done the Paulaner Weissbier.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the... Oh, and the Sierra Nevada Bitburger, correct?
Right.
Okay. So we're on to number three. We're well into the Octo of Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're right in the thick of it, Michael.
Yep. Yep.
Should we crack her open?
Let's do that.
So this is 6.1% ABV, by the way, for those that may be curious.
Mm-hmm.
I like the Odell style. Michael, yeah. What have you... What are your thoughts on Odell Brewing?
Oh, 19 IBU as well.
Gotcha.
I don't want to say impressed, but nothing but pleased with the Odell brews I've had. I think we've had another on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had another one in the Denver airport at some point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I seem to recall all of them being pretty solid.
Is it distributed up towards you?
I think... So
it's pretty ubiquitous down here.
I wouldn't call it ubiquitous here, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it up here.
At least in stores, anyways. Not so much in on tap, but
right. Okay.
Tap
sure,
real
sure.
estate is getting to be more and more at a premium in these parts.
It's precious.
Precious. It looks like an Oktoberfest. It looks a little bit fizzier than a normal Oktoberfest.
Yeah, definitely a rich caramel color too.
Big old bubbles on that guy. No head whatsoever.
Yeah.
Which I'm sensing a trend.
Mm-hmm. But the smell is a little...
It smells fresh. It smells like you're in the brewery.
That's what I was going to say, too. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but it has a very, like, grainy, like, boiling grain
farmy
smell.
Farmy, almost?
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
I guess let's go in and
sounds
try
good.
This Marzen-style lager. Oh.
Interesting.
That's very different.
It is. It's not as malty as we would have thought.
Mm-mm.
Now, is it?
And it has a... They say biscuity in the flavor text, and it's...
I don't know about that.
Well, it's almost sour... Like, what is that? It's like a sour taste, almost, or something.
It's a little no good.
Mm.
Kind of, but...
To me, it almost has like a homebrew kind of, like... It's a little rough around the edges. It's
not as malty as I would have expected.
Mm-mm.
And so this is actually reminding me of a less intense version of that Sierra Nevada Bitburger version. Because to me, that front end was like this, but ramped up to 11.
Really? Yeah.
I was not a fan of that one. It's like I said, I abstained at the time because I didn't know if my beer had gone weird.
Mm-hmm.
But then I had it on tap like 2 days after we recorded that. And
same thing. That's weird.
Pretty dang close. No more different than you know, any other thing that would be on the differences from tap to can.
Because now that I know what flavor you're talking about, I didn't get that with the Bitburger, or at least to an extent with this one. This one has a really off taste to it. It's kind of like a rotten flavor, I almost want to say. What?
I wouldn't go that far.
That's very disparaging. I'm trying to like land the right word. Is acrid? Is that has almost like a raw taste to it, like a raw grain.
I kind of like it.
Really? No, I think I'm getting the Sierra Nevada angle on this one, and you're getting like we're switching dispositions on these two beers.
It is kind of odd.
Man, I'm getting towards the second half of this beer, but can I finish this? Is now the question I'm asking myself. This is really weird tasting to me. It almost, I'm asking the same question you asked yourself with the Sierra Nevada. Is something wrong with mine? Is this
so I get a
normal,
little,
but
I get a little bit of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That said, your beer was always inside.
Right, yeah. No, and I think based on the fact that you're finding notes of that, I just think that they're just out there for me.
I think it's like a, it's not tart, it's not tangy. My father refers to this particular taste as wangy.
Wangy, yeah.
A little bit wangy in there.
Yeah, but to me it tastes like this would be a flavor that would be unintentionally introduced into a beer. To me, this is an off flavor that you usually would not want in a beer.
Yeah, I agree. But
it's just like this raw grain, like, you know, something. I think you even said it was Sierra Nevada. Like, there was some the grain, like, rotted a little bit before it made it into the batch, or it was, like, a little gamey, a little moist before it went in. To me, that's what I'm getting out of this one. It's really unfortunate.
I'm not having quite as much of a the same reaction as you are.
Right.
I get what you're talking about, but it's not as bad.
Well, I can move on to a rating because I'm...
So, okay. Take a sip of judgment if you need to.
Yeah.
And I will give you some of my thoughts on the subject.
Yeah. Give me some likes, I guess, if you have any.
I kind of like that fresh grain because I don't think that's what's giving it that weird front note, because it is a slightly off flavor. Maybe it's a new style that American Oktoberfest are doing, because that's two of them I've had now with it. I hope not, because with such a traditional style, I don't, especially one that's just so ingrained with beer culture, I don't see the point either, you know, artistically, if that doesn't sound too pretentious, or commercially, because if people want an Oktoberfest, I feel like having your own Oktoberfest is sort of like how people of our fathers' generations had like their Miller or their Budweiser, and they only drank that one kind because that was their brand, because that was just the style at the time, much like wearing an onion on your belt. But
so like Grandpa Simpson.
It is Grandpa Simpson. Okay. But I feel like because this style is just sort of, you know, it's only out at this time of year and it's got this big hullabaloo about it, I feel like it's, I guess I personally don't see the point of why you would want to, like, take it to weird new places.
Right.
There's certainly always room for refining. And you can try different things, like maybe an English yeast would work better than American brew, or, you know, whatever. Or maybe we should use this other kind of noble hop. Maybe that'll do something weird.
Yeah.
But I feel like with this kind, you don't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that I'm having a more subdued reaction than you are, because I noticed this on the Sierra Nevada, and then I had my thoughts reinforced when I had it on tap.
Right.
So because, like I said, it was 2 days after, and I had it fresh in my head and palate as to what that taste actually was.
I don't, it just didn't get that vibe that you got from it. Well, that's what I almost want to...
Go to Colorado and try it on tap?
Have another lot of this, get it in a bottle. I'm probably not going to find it on tap anywhere.
No, probably not.
It's just... Because, okay, I'll just get a seg into my rating here, because this is, like, reminiscent of... the Samurai.
Yes.
In the fact that...
Thank you. That's what it is.
That was a rice lager from Great Divide that we had.
Correct. That was
It was like, okay, this is... I can tell it was made with it, like, intent, but the flavors here just are not lining up for me.
Horribly failed, because that was what we thought. We thought we were going to be getting a Karen or a Sapporo with that, which right. we did not.
It was
part of me kind of wishes we would have been able to try those like back to back or side by side, but I'm not having that beer again.
Right, yeah. I'm giving this a 1. The beer that I'm having in my hand right now, there's very little redeeming qualities about it, and maybe if I had a different of the exact same beer, you know, I don't know. I want to chalk it up to this can versus the whole...
versus the beer itself.
Right, but I don't have any evidence for or against that, but what I got in front of me, this is not very good.
Fooey.
Yeah.
Just chug it now. Yeah. Throw out good beer. I got you that beer.
Well, yeah, I will drink it. It is actually almost gone, but it's just past that threshold for me to finish drinking it. It's so bizarre. I don't know what happened here, but I'll leave the benefit of the doubt to your rating. So
okay,
go ahead.
This one to me is perfectly fine. Some of the stuff I've noticed with Odell is that I feel like they get really lofty ideas and the execution just isn't quite there. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they have some sort of Odell Peach Trees Shaker IPA.
Oh, I remember you talking about that, I think.
Which on its nose sounds like a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
It just didn't, yeah.
It's like your standard just double IPA with some peach essence or something on it.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, God. And it goes back to the great apricot debate of 2017 or whenever that was.
Yeah, right.
Because it's just one of those, it's like, okay, do you want real peach flavor or do you want peach flavoring?
Right, sure.
And this one was definitely peach flavoring. I do distinctly remember being a fan of having peach jello before it had actually like set, just like drinking it as a child. which is pretty tasty, actually.
Okay,
I'm sure it made life hell for my parents for like a week, but
before it set.
Before it set, yes. It just smells so good, Michael.
I'm sure.
I'm going to give this a 3. I think it's fine. I do like some of the malty notes to it. I like the nose on it. It does have a little bit of that wang to the front end of it, but I think the sweetness that I'm getting is kind of leveling it out and not really making it an issue. For me, this is pretty just middle of the road. It's fine.
Is it better or worse than the Sierra Nevada Bitburger collab?
I think it's about the same. A little bit better.
Okay.
I'll give this one over the Sierra Nevada.
Okay.
Just because I felt like maybe it was because I was not expecting that, whereas on this one I was just like, eh, we'll see what we get. Now that my third eye has been squeegeed clean,
I'm
more aware of these things when they happen.
Yeah. Well, we'll be going back to Germany next week. We'll see how that goes.
Hooray!
And then I did get a mysterious invite for a an Oktoberfest do or party.
Oh, really?
Yeah, around the 31st. So.
Uh huh.
I still have to find out what beer is there. So.
Oh, okay, cool. Let me know what it is.
Yeah. But in any case, this is another one down the gullet. So you can get in touch with us in a variety of ways. If anybody has had this one, let me know. I feel like I'm going crazy.
I was going to say, is this like a Berenstein, the Berenstein effect?
Yeah, right.
Like we swear we know what Oktoberfest tastes like, but we've been wrong all the time.
Right, yeah.
It's like, oh no, it tastes like mint. What have you guys been drinking? Yeah.
Exactly. You can get in touch. Facebook.com/APMPod. Twitter @APMPod there. Emails directly, APMPod@gmail.com. Check us out on Untappd, where host emeritus Mike keeps up with all of our ratings there. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike. Mike, you get... Hey, go get this beer, Mike. Let it in right in. Let us know. If I can find it, you can find it.
Yeah. Help. Help us, Mike. You're our only hope.
For the love of God.
Rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcasting app. But we'll leave it at that.
Tell a friend, why don't you?
Oh, yeah, that too. So for Jeremy, I've been Michael.
For Michael, I have been Jeremy.
And this has been American Pale Males. Cheers.
Cheers.